Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467369.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How often do you use excuses like, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it? It isn't easy to talk about erectile dysfunction, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medication with free 2-day shipping. Free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM. That's GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/BOM, B-O-M. Get 15 bucks off.
Welcome back to another episode of Growing Up the Same. I'm your host, Trevon Edwards, and joined always by my co-host, Jason Madison. What's going on, Jason?
What up, Trey?
And today we have a special guest. We have Cassidy Hubbard. What's going on?
Hey, so good to be with you, my friend. And friends, nice to meet you, Jason.
Nice to meet you as well, Cassidy. Cassidy Hubbard is an American television anchor. She's been at ESPN since 2010, worked on a number of studio shows, but most recently, she's been focused on the NBA as the host of Hoop Streams and one of the game's broadcast sideline reporters. Cassidy, this is the one of the two. Are you ready?
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I was just like hearing that like deep baritone going over my resume. I was a little, you know, I'm ready. I think I am, but.
Okay, cool. The Bulls' first three-peat or the second one?
The second one, because I was a little older and I remember more of it. And also, shout out to the viewers or listeners can't see it, but Dennis Rodman in the background of Trey's shot. Like that team just had a little more personality, in my opinion.
For sure. Mike Tyson or Roy Jones Jr.?
I guess I would say Mike Tyson.
Shower or bath?
Shower. I hate baths.
A TV in the bedroom or no?
I don't want a TV in the bedroom, but I have one and it is on every night. So it's more of like, you know, I wish I didn't have social media on my phone at times, but It's going to be there.
The 80s or the 90s?
90s. All day.
Jim Carrey.
Or the 80s, but the 90s is where I was, you know, where I blossomed, really.
Jim Carrey or Damon Wayans?
Oh, I guess I'm going to go with Damon Wayans because Jim Carrey always kind of bugged me. I'm trying to think, like, I don't really have a... Like my favorite Jim Carrey movie, which I'm probably going to get killed for, the one that like I've watched more than his other ones would be like, The Truman Show. Whereas I don't like any of his like Ace Ventura. I mean, like I watched those movies, but they annoyed me. Damon Wayans, there's such, he, you know, I think I respect him more as a comedic actor.
Right. Goofy or Mickey Mouse?
I think I like Mickey Mouse. And that's not just because I'm employed by Disney and he's the face.
Yeah, the Mouse House.
Yeah.
Ron Artest or Elton Brand?
That's a random question.
They were both drafted by the Bulls.
I like Meta World Peace. Can I answer with that?
Yeah, we'll accept that answer. Virgil Abloh or Tom Ford?
I've had, you know, we've all had our ups and downs with Virgil this year. So I would say I have more Virgil I always mess up his name.
Abloh.
Abloh. I know. I like put the D and the B. I mess those up. I have more Off-White and Louis Vuitton than I do Tom Ford. So that's a backwards answer to that question.
Right. College dropout.
I said, and also flex. Sorry.
I flex. College dropout or graduation?
Oh, man. I would have to say graduation.
Nice.
Yeah, see, look, again, another person that, you know, is hard to get behind these days, even though I live in Yeezys and are embarrassed by it, but they're just the most comfortable things ever. You know, old Kanye is such a part of, you know, my teenage years and 20s. I think he's one of the most,
you're not alone.
Yeah. Like it's just, oh, Kanye just means a lot to me.
Yeah. The rare triple one, two, or three, Friday, next Friday or Friday after next, RIP Tiny Lister.
I know. Friday, the original.
Yeah. The Dark Knight or Infinity War?
The Dark Knight. I think The Dark Knight, see, I'm not like the greatest like movie, like I don't catalog movies, and but I know that The Dark Knight, like Batman Begins, I think is the best of that trilogy.
Because
I think, yeah, because I think The Dark Knight, every part with Heath Ledger was fantastic. Right. But Two-Face and the ending there just ruined it for me. Like, he just didn't need to be a part of the movie.
Right.
You know, I just, it didn't make a whole lot, like that whole ending, and maybe it had to do with the, you know, fact that they had to like come up with, you know, more movie after he died. But Batman Begins, like, I had never seen a superhero movie like that, where it just like, I felt like it was, it brought superhero movies into, you know, like Academy Award winning type drama. And I will watch Batman Begins more than I watch the other two.
Wow. I think that's the first time I've heard that, but I'd like Batman Begins, not as much as The Dark Knight, but it's
Two-Face in the bed though. That was crazy. His reaction where he's like,
I know, but even that scene alone, like Two-Face didn't know that just because he had a mask on that he couldn't tell that that was the Joker. And as soon as he took the mask off, he was like, oh my God, no, the reveal. Like, dude looks straight crazy walking in the room with a painted face, dressed in a, you know, a female nurse costume. Like, it just, any, like, I just didn't get it. Like, I liked,
he was woozy. He was woozy from being in the, you know,
look, if you got to explain all that, then I'm out. No.
I just didn't need that storyline when you have such an epic character like the Joker. It just didn't, you're doing too much. But at the same time, he was extraordinary. All the parts around the Joker, I think, were the best as far as the villains throughout the three movies. But start to finish, I like Batman Begins more.
Yes. Knowledge is power or ignorance is bliss?
Knowledge is power. All day, and something I need to continue to tell myself.
Jordan threes or fours?
11s.
Olympic sevens or the great fives?
Great fives. Sevens are just, like, they're just too clunky for me.
Yeah. Big Ten or SEC?
Big Ten, because I went to Northwestern and I'm from the Midwest, so I rep the Big Ten. But as far as like where my love for college football started, it was the SEC, because I covered the SEC. Like when I was at Northwestern, I covered Northwestern football, but being introduced to SEC football, working for Fox Sports South in Atlanta, is just like, it's a whole nother world I just didn't know about when it came to sports fandom. And so I became an LSU fan during that time.
Nice. Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh?
Pass. Seriously, pass.
You might pass on this next one too. Jake Cutler or Kyle Orton?
I mean, we're just talking about as a Bulls quarterback, right?
A Bears quarterback, yeah.
I mean, it's a Freudian slip. Bears quarterback. I like Jay Cutler, but I also don't. Yeah, Jay Cutler. That's my answer. I'll just stop there.
Yeah. Twister, Chief Keef.
Twister.
United Center or Chicago Stadium?
I never saw a game in Chicago Stadium. I have my beef with the United Center. I feel like, especially during like the Derrick Rose years, when, you know, it should have been just peak excitement around that group. I felt like I was watching games and I could hear the ice cream man like calling for people to buy ice cream. Like, I just didn't think the vibe was very good in there. I saw some, I think I did standing room only on the top rafters of the United Center during the Jordan years. So that was cool. But I mean, from the stories I hear from like Wilbon and everybody, that Chicago Stadium, just like, you can't, it just will never be replaced. Like, the sound in there was incredible. So I have my issues with the United Center, so I guess just out of hearsay, I would say Chicago Stadium.
Gotcha. Food and liquor or the cool?
Oh. Go the cool.
Shonda Rhimes or Oprah?
Shonda Rhimes. So I went to go see, look, Oprah is an icon, okay? And I grew up watching her, but I went to go see Oprah with like a bunch of classmates when I was in middle school. And, you know, I'm sure we were being awful because it's a bunch of middle schoolers, but I just remember her yelling at us to like be quiet. So it kind of like stuck in my head that, you know, that Oprah's scolding us, and she probably was very much in the right. And then Shonda Rhimes, like I'm a huge Grey's Anatomy fan.
Yeah.
Like I try to find people who will talk to me about Grey's Anatomy because I know there's a lot of people out there since it trends every single time it's on. It's been on for about 50 years.
I was going to say, is it still on? It's still on.
Yeah, it's still on and it's still great. And no one, and that's the response I get to from everybody who, you know, talk, like when I say I still watch Grey's Anatomy and they're like, that show is still on. And I'm like, yes, can I have someone to talk to? I've gone to the point where I'm like, you know, searching hashtags on Twitter just to feel like I have a community that I can talk to about my obsession with Grey's Anatomy. It's such an amazing show. The writing, everything. Ugh.
Yeah, I watched it. I had a girlfriend in college who loved it, and I watched it with her. This is probably like 2006, 2007, something like that. I think like the show is probably like, I mean, maybe just because I was watching it, but I feel like it was kind of in its peak at that time.
Oh, it's had several peaks. It's had several peaks. It really has.
I know a lot of the characters have died. I'm like, how's everybody died? And like, she's...
Because they introduced new characters. That's like the brilliance of Shonda Rhimes. She, right. You know, she has the ability to create characters that you love and relate to and, you know, care about their character development. I mean, I've had my issues with how she's ended some of the characters' run, mm-hmm. but yeah, I have an obsession, as you can tell.
Yeah. All right. Would you rather be late to the party or early to the party?
I guess it depends on what kind of party it is, right? Yeah. You know, like if it's like some, you know, awkward business corporate party, I think like I don't want to be just, I don't know. It depends. It's all situational. Like if I show up there, and it's a party I just need to kind of like show face at, then maybe arriving early so that I could like, you know, get in when there's not too many people. I'm can be very awkward and not good at small talk. So if it's a party that like I'm excited to go to, I'll get there early. Like I do like a friend's Thanksgiving pre, you know, 2020 with our friends back in Chicago. And that's a party that I never want to end. So I want as much time. So it depends on what kind of party it is.
Gotcha. Monopoly or Scrabble?
I've never really liked Monopoly. So Scrabble.
Yeah. Foamposites or Forces?
Forces. I respect Foamposites, but I definitely wear Air Force Ones way more.
Hoop Dreams or The Last Dance?
Oh, well, The Last Dance, because it was like basically a documentary on my childhood experiences. And it actually helped, as I said, it helped kind of make my memories a little bit clearer. You know, there was a lot of stories that I didn't pay attention to as a, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year old.
Yeah. I just want to say though, for Hoop Dreams, like, I remember when I was growing up, people saying like, oh my God, it's the greatest documentary of all time. And like, I wasn't really into film at that time in my life. And I saw that movie and I was like, wow, I understand what documentaries are now. Like,
no, absolutely.
Yeah. And so that, I don't know, that movie always has like a special place like for me.
No, you put that into good perspective of just how it did change the game as far as sports documentaries. Sure. And, you know, it should have a significant place in history. But when it comes to, you know, which one I relate to more, it would be obviously The Last Dance.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's just like anything with time, like the you know, the newer you are, probably the better you're gonna get. And obviously, like, I love Michael Jordan just as much as anybody else. Last Dance was just like, it was just fun the whole time. Like,
yeah,
I watched it like 3 or 4 times from beginning to end.
You know what it is? I had to do I call this work, so I need to pinch myself. But I did a show with Sarah Spain, like a pre-show and a reaction show out of each episode. So I got like the episodes early. So I watched it. Like I need to sit back and watch it, just like not taking notes and not like, you know, trying to watch it from an analytical perspective. Like, I need to spend some time. I logged on to ESPN Plus. Plug.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just fun, especially when you have, like, those certain moments that, like, really hit and, like, they're, like, kind of anticipating them. And I'm like, oh, I know he's going to do this or this is going to happen in this episode. So.
I will say Scotty does have a reason to feel some type of way, because he did not look good in that documentary.
It was a hot look.
It was a hot look, Trey. Like, I have my issues. You know, Amin would always set me straight and be like, because, you know, we all work with Scotty and we know what a good guy he was, but it was hard to defend him. Some of those moves, they were wild. They were wild.
Yeah. Other than Crumbs Krause, he was the villain of the last.
I think that Jordan based. And rest in peace, Jerry Krause, because, you know, you were a big part of the championships. Do you think he based the alien boss in Space Jam?
He had to.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
It was wild, though. I'm saying, and I'm very interested to see what this LeBron Space Jam is going to be about. He says not a sequel.
Right.
You know, there were some quotes he said. He goes, when, like, he was talking to Allie Clifton, and she was like, he was talking, and we're taking on some aliens. She goes, Monstars? He goes, they're not Monstars. Like, you can't stray too far away when it's called Space Jam.
He remixing. I might not get down with this one. I don't know.
Like, I understand trying to make it your own, but, like, there's a line where you need to respect the original art.
It should have been passing the torch. It should have been like a retired MJ, like, look,
that's what I'm saying.
This is what you're going to need if you're going to go out there.
Damn respect too, Trey.
hey, Wash King.
I need the Jordan cameo. Jordan's got to make a cameo in the movie.
There's no way.
Not happening.
Not happening.
Only Jordan you're seeing is Michael B. Jordan.
All right. Cameo. Vodka or tequila?
Oh, God. Tequila? I would tell you this. Tequila, I can't even be, like, next to someone drinking it. And my husband drinks tequila nightly. So, like, we are separate. He's in his chair and I'm in my couch. Like, you know what it is? Tequila, I'm not a big drinker. I didn't start drinking until really college because I had... being part Asian, like early on, I had, you know, I don't know if you know this about some Asians, and I don't know the medical term, but I would get really flushed and red and dizzy. But then I started like easing into it, drinking wine. And then I had like, you know, sometimes I would drink liquor, but I hate the taste of all liquor, except for gin and tonic, which is strange because everyone tells me gin is like the worst tasting liquor, but I don't taste
the worst.
it's terrible.
I don't know. I like a gin and tonic. I don't call me like an old, you know, lady, but tequila, like I just remember my worst nights of like learning how to drink, to put it, you know, frankly, like tequila is what did me in. I would get sick always by drinking tequila, which included my wedding night.
Alicia first drink wasn't the 151 in pineapple like me. Like that was
No. I tried the Mad Dog in high school. I tried the little wine coolers in high school, but like nothing, you know, like I never got to the point where I got drunk with those. But like tequila, like my wedding night, awful, awful. I didn't have any time to drink during the wedding. So then we had a post party, and I just started taking shots of tequila, and it was the worst situation ever. My poor husband.
Reading your favorite book or watching your favorite movie?
Movie. I want to say reading my favorite book. Like, I want to read more, but yeah. I also love television and movies. And I'm the type of person who will watch the same movie over and over again and watch season 4 of Grey's Anatomy on a Tuesday afternoon while I'm walking down the street. It's a problem. I need to read more. So I'm putting it out in the atmosphere to tell myself to read more books.
You gotta join FA's book club. We had a FA Udo on our pod. Like,
yeah,
and he has a book club. So,
I mean, I may need to start.
Yeah, we got invited. So when he starts reading the Barack book, maybe we can all join in on that.
I know, I need to. Yeah. Okay. No, I do. I do. Like, back to your question, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And reading is a portal to that knowledge.
For sure. Speaking of Barack or Michelle?
Barack. I mean, I love Michelle, but how cool is Barack Obama? Like, he's just, he never misses. He never misses. Like,
I love Obama.
He's just so smooth. It's just like, we're so spoiled. Like, I don't know if there ever be another president that smooth and that entertaining and that, like, for everything that he had to worry about as a president, he still was also on top of pop culture. You could tell that, like, he cared, you know, doing his homework whenever he had kind of like a pop culture interview or a sports interview, or when teams came to the White House. Like, he's just so cool.
Yep. High Fidelity or the Blues Brothers? If you've seen either one of those movies.
I mean, I have back in the day.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers, I guess I just associate more with Chicago and, you know, Sweet Home Chicago and Billy Goat Tavern and all that. Like, those, I can recall more memories, as you can tell, with the Blues Brothers than High Fidelity.
The Breakfast Club or Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off all day. Like, I don't really love The Breakfast Club. And I don't know if it's just because I never watched it when I was younger, and I don't really like it now, but Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I was the number one, like, John Hughes movie that, had a imprint on my memory. Just like going to the Cubs game, like, you know, just all of it. I think start to finish, that movie still holds up today. Whereas Breakfast Club, I just don't, it doesn't really hold up as well.
For sure. Bears or the Blackhawks?
Bears. Bears, like the Bears, even though the Bulls are my first love, watching the Bears is what, like, really got me into wanting to be in sports broadcasting, because it was watching, like, the Fox NFL pregame show, on Sundays. Like, I'd come home from church, we'd have breakfast, I'd watch the pregame show. I would see Pam Oliver, like, doing sit down interviews with players. And then it kind of just, like, I just remember that moment of, oh, that would be pretty cool to do. Like, you know, I love sports. I love watching sports. Like, this is an actual career that I can kind of go after. So the Bears, for sure. The Blackhawks, like, I'm a fair weather fan. Like, I was all about them during their Stanley Cup runs. But, like, I didn't watch one game last season, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I am towards the Kings. It's like, I like them when they're winning. But other than that, like, I don't pay them much attention.
Right. Yeah.
And my last one, do you get more happiness from work or your regular life?
My personal life, my family, for sure. Like, work, I've been so blessed and so fortunate to live out my dream. And I feel like it's given me so much to be proud about, but I've always been someone who, you know, realizes that family is the most important thing in life. And now that I'm a mother, you know, my whole world has kind of changed, and priorities just have changed. So with that, so is kind of like what I value the most, as far as like what I'm most proud of. So I'm still, you know, it's great to have the best of both worlds right now.
For sure. Well, that was the one of the two.
That was awesome. That was fun. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.
Now time to cue the harp, Jason. Blast from the past. All right, now we're going to have a conversation about young Cass and playing sports. How was that?
So I am the youngest of three kids. I have two older brothers, and we're always active. My dad was, you know, my coach growing up. I played soccer and basketball. I pretty much played every single sport growing up except for hockey and volleyball, because it hurt my wrist. Like, and I just remember not wanting to take the time to figure it out, because it also always competed with basketball, and I always knew I wanted to be in basketball.
That's me in bowling with the wrist thing. I bowled in college, and it was just like, now trying to do it for like just with friends. I can't do it.
Well, now it's just a different story, where it's like the 30s hit, and I don't know if you're 30, Trey, but like the
30s. About to be 36.
See, we're the same age. Yeah, so you know the feeling, like this is 30. Things are just hurting to hurt. Like, I just had my first experience with like my back stiffening up, and I'm like, yo, this is not cool. I'm not down with this. This is what adulthood is. I can't, like, don't give me that. And my knee has been washed for forever. I feel like, and then sometimes when I reach to like grab, you know, my daughter's like,
that random pop.
There's a pop. I feel it's something in my Achilles. I'm telling you, it's all connected. I am washed. I am washed, and not in LeBron James, 36 years old washed. I am like all the way washed. And I even forgot what we were just talking about. That's how washed I am, because that's another problem, is that your memory is
everything is shot, or
is shot. And don't even bring like the mom brain or the dad brain into it. Like I was telling you, Trey, like I forget everything, because I'm like, you're not just worried about yourself. And I'm like, I can't think about what happened 2 minutes ago. So what was the question again?
So I asked about sports. So what specific sports were your favorite?
Oh, okay. So soccer and basketball. And when I was in high school, I added cross country to help get in shape for soccer and basketball, really. So, you know, I will say though, like I peaked in middle school. Like I'm just a straight up brag. I was the shit in middle school. I earned all of the awards. I got MVP of FAM, which is this like club league that we had in Evanston, sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. And I'm feeling myself, you know, and I get to high school, didn't really work on my left, because I just like thought I was good. And got, you know, put on the sophomore team freshman year, and then varsity my sophomore year. But I didn't really work on my game. And so, you know, sophomore year on varsity, I didn't get any tick. And then junior year, like I, you know, other girls started being better than me handling the ball, because I was the point guard. Like, how do I not have a left hand and be at, like, and can't dribble left? So really,
I'm sitting on that offhand all day. Just sit. Go ahead. Give it here, because you're going to give it right here. Thank you.
So, you know, but I did. I will say, I like, you know, something about me, and it may, and this kind of, you know, translates to how I am, like, as a broadcaster too. Like, I'm not the most, like, poised and naturally gifted athlete, and I would say I'm not the most poised or naturally gifted broadcaster, but I'll hustle. I'm a hustler. And so that's kind of like what my game turned out to be, was like, I was, you know, I had a lot of steals, and like one game I recorded 16 rebounds. I mean, I'm 5'6" and I got 16 boards, and I'm like, that's the kind of stuff I'm proud of. So I will outwork you. I may not, you know, always
that be quote may Rajon Rondo proud.
Right. That's exactly. I'm a playmaker. I caused havoc. That's my game, and that's a big part of my personality, I would say.
You made a comment about hustling and broadcasting, and a lot of people don't know. Like, it's other people. Like, you know what I mean? In the media game, like, you might have like 10 other outlets. And if it's a big game, it might be 120 journalists there trying to be on the same beat and get the same story. And obviously, you work for the world leader in a situation where, you know, you might have that priority. And sometimes it's kind of like, okay, well, that person just kind of, I remember my first experience in a locker room and just looking and thinking everybody's just going to let me get my question off, or somebody asking your question where you're just like, and I only got one question to get to this one person. It requires hustle. And if you don't have hustle, closed mouths don't get fed, and you can get exposed real quick.
Right. And look, it requires hustle and requires, you know, reps, like understanding, you know, like I was a house cat for the majority of my career at ESPN, meaning like I was in studio in Bristol, and then they was like, okay. And then they just handed me the keys to, you know, sideline reporting. Never did any sideline reporting before covering the NBA, like never. And, you know, I'm now in my fifth year and I'm still trying to figure things out, like little things like where are the bathrooms, you know, like how, you know, in the arena, so I can make sure I'm timing out like my strategy for the game, and, you know, building relationships with the PR guys to make sure that, like, hey, if something happens, I'll text you instead of chasing them down, or just knowing the people in the league that I can ask for, like, rules explanation. Or I covered the confetti game between the Celtics and Sixers, and I'm like, you know, where they let out the confetti early, and they had to like figure out, you know, how that game was going to play out, and, you know, how they had to, and the earthquake. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember in Summer League, the earthquake
Zion.
Game. Yeah. I mean, like those two situations were like, I was so nervous because like half the battle was figuring out who to talk to, like who was going to be able to give me an answer. And I just like didn't know, I wouldn't have known that unless I, you know, had a few years in the league kind of being in and around these people. And I still, you know, I feel like today, you know, having been in the bubble and being around the people, the personnel in the NBA and a lot of the teams, that has helped me. And this is 5 years deep, so there's still a lot of learning I need to do in order to do my job right. But that was Cassidy. Now you want to talk about Cassidy back then. So yeah, sports were big, just a big part of who I was as a kid, and who, you know, my family, I was so fortunate. My parents were at all of my games. And that like meant everything to me, like going, you know, in my basketball games, being able to like run over to my dad, you know, at halftime and get his like his advice on how I was playing. Like those are the memories that I will always cherish about my childhood.
Did you play other sports in high school other than basketball?
I did. I was actually better at soccer than I was basketball, because I told you I just like didn't improve. And I got a lot of crap from, you know, the soccer people, because, you know, I did have a little more natural ability in soccer than I did in basketball. And the soccer people really want you to concentrate on just soccer. And so they wanted me to play club, you know, in the fall and winter. And I always wanted to be a three sport athlete. And I actually was I had a graduating class of close to 700 people, and I was the only three sport athlete for 4 years, in my entire graduating class of 700 people, because like that, like I graduated in 2003. So like those 2000s were like the start of the shift of like, you know, of young kids specializing in sports and, you know, investing in trainers and like finding ways to get an edge to get scholarships. And, you know, maybe it even started like the late 90s, but I just knew I always just wanted to play, you know, sports. I never really thought I was going to, like, I could use it as a way to get, you know, a scholarship. Like, I just wanted to be a part of a team and have fun and, you know, participate and be, you know, really enjoy athletic competition and not just have it be a means to an end of, you know, a means to get to the next step. So, soccer, actually, we won a state championship in 2002. And, you know, we were one of the best teams in the state, you know, my senior year as well. So, like, that was pretty freaking cool experience. Like, not many people get to say that they are a state champion. So, but again, I was like a little rough around the edges. I think I got like benched. I got benched during the championship game because I almost lost us the game in the semifinals because I undercut some girl in the box.
And you got a red card?
Got a card.
No, I got like benched by my coach.
Because your coach
like,
just
made a bad, yeah, it was, and this, the funny story is it like, because I, you know, wasn't being smart. I just was being hectic and trying to create, you know, chaos and, you know, just running up and down. And then like, I tried a why can't I think of the word slide kick? Like the thing when you slide and you try to kick the ball away from someone, whatever. I sound really dumb, but it's been a long time since I played soccer. And it was in the box and luckily our goalkeeper was amazing and, you know, prevented the goal, but I got benched in the championship game. But I, if you look at any pictures of the celebration after we won the title, I am in every shot right next to the coach who has the trophy because I was like, I'm getting my shine. and so I am right next to him. I was on the front cover of like right there in every single picture.
That's awesome. Pivoting from sports, what about neighborhood games?
Yeah. How was that? Yeah. I mean, I love where I grew up, Evanston. It's such an incredible community. And I had a neighborhood growing up where it was nice. There was a lot of kids my age in the neighborhood. And, you know, it was always fun to kind of get together for block parties where, you know, we would play volleyball. And I think that's where I learned I didn't really like it. And then there, you know, we would play games like Capture the Flag, which was so fun, running around the neighborhood in other people's backyards. And we just had a really great group of kids that all got along. And then like, even when we'd go to school, we'd be waiting in line for the bus and we'd play like Red Rover, which is such a such a dangerous game. Have you guys ever played Red Rover?
It's probably called something else where we're from, but if you explain it, probably.
So you have like two, so like you have two sides, like maybe three people on one side, three people on the other side, and you go Red Rover, send, you know, tray over. And then you would have to run and break the link of our arms. So we would all hold arms.
So I actually, it's another name for it, but I had to, you know, as an elementary school teacher, I did that as PE. So for PE, I had the kids play that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, I loved it, but I also remember like feeling like I was going to break my arm every time because some of the kids got real aggressive, just like trying to, you know,
somebody can get clotheslined actually.
Yeah, exactly. But I loved it. I would just remember playing that game, waiting for the bus before elementary school. And I just like, those are the memories that, you know, just kind of embody the innocence of childhood.
And lastly, let's talk about Young Cass and music.
Yeah. So, you know, I've always been into hip hop, R&B, obviously 90s R&B. I remember like, it's just when you say that and I'm thinking, trying to jog my memory, like in middle school, we would have dances and, you know, obviously middle school is when like, kids kind of start getting mean. And I just remember that like this kid Brian Bonner, who was a good friend of mine, but he just was such a trickster. He would come up to me and he would say, I know who likes you. And he'd go, nobody. As in like Keith Sweat.
Shouts to Keith Sweat.
Yeah, shout out to Keith Sweat. Shout out to 112. Shout out to Jagged Edge.
Drew Hill.
Yes, Drew Hill. Yes, but like
those. I liked him in my bed. That was a banger to me.
No. He was great. He just was like one step over for me. Is like outside that.
All right. What about Genuine? Because you 03.
Yeah,
like me.
Genuine too. Like, but Genuine, if I were to put Keith Sweat, 112, Jagged Edge to me. Like I played Promise probably. I mean, I wore that track out. Okay. So Jagged Edge out of that three, like
as we need the Jagged Edge 112 verses.
Yes. Do it one time for the millennials. Come on. So yeah, that would be amazing actually. I mean, because I think people sleep on Jagged Edge. I really do.
Didn't they do that?
No,
have they?
Yeah, they battled.
No, they didn't battle. They didn't have no verses.
Who was 112 battling in?
112 didn't have no verses.
Yes, they did early on in the year. Y'all tripping. I know Cassie probably was busy, but you missed it. It was definitely.
I don't know.
I got the playlist here.
We have an internet machine, so we can figure it out. But yeah, and then like I'm trying to think of other soundtracks that like really is sticking out in my mind. Like the Bodyguard soundtrack, I sang to a lot. I will admit, so there was like my obsession with, you know, R&B and hip hop. And then I had like a shameless, you know, teeny bopper girl phase. Like I may or may not have gone to one or five NSYNC concerts. The truth remains, you're gone, baby, you're gone. You know, Justin Timberlake was that dude for me. He was my biggest crush growing up. Like even the curly, the banana yellow curly hair. I used to live for some Justin Timberlake. So I will admit that side of me that I love me some NSYNC. And
I came around to NSYNC when the Neptunes did the girlfriend remix.
Yeah.
Like whenever the Neptunes did a song with somebody, I automatically was like, all right, like let me go check them out. Cause I wasn't messing with Britney Spears either, but I'm gonna say you as a slap.
No, and like don't even bring Backstreet Boys or 98 Degrees my way. It was all really just about Justin. Like I didn't like care about, like I got mad when Chris or Lance or whatever the other guy's name would sing. It was all and only about.
So fact check, I just sent both of you guys texts. They did battle and 112 won.
It was on my birthday. That's probably why.
I'm telling you. Yes, you didn't remember. And Cassidy was definitely making
it. Jagged Edge is underappreciated. And I think because of Cupid, which arguably
banger. Like,
well, it's the biggest song out of like that either of them did. You know, it's one of the.
Peaches and Cream was crazy.
Peaches and Cream was crazy, but Cupid to me represents like 90s R&B. Whereas Jagged Edge, you got to really dig deep and like spend some time with their albums to appreciate.
Walked Out of Heaven. We go down the line. Hard album was great for me.
I was a DJ like in high school, and I'm telling you, like I did so many weddings, and no song went off like the Let's Get Married remix.
I'm telling you.
No song off like that.
It just doesn't. I think the theme, I'm trying to think. We had a Jagged Edge theme to our prom my senior year. I'm trying to remember what song it was. But anyways. So yeah. So that. And then as far as like hip hop I was into in the 90s. I think my true love for hip hop really started with old Kanye.
That's our freshman year of college, college dropout dropped ironically right then and there, like, you know what I mean? And you could just kind of transition into that.
Yeah.
dang, man, we had some good times too, because we got 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. We got some good albums. We got the Beyonce, Jay-Z, 03, Bonnie and Clyde, Blueprint. Yeah,
that was like the last golden era, I feel like, of hip hop.
G-Unit, Beg for Mercy. Like, it was just a good time, man, to be going to, like, Jay-Z retired. We got Black Album. Like,
yeah, that's it. That's
being 18, 19 at that particular time.
College to me was like, I mean, like, I would spend a lot of time in my car just listening to music in college. I felt like, and I felt like that was the time where I was really on top of new music. Like, now I couldn't even fathom, you know, being on top of new music.
I'm gonna get you back lit since we.
I actually listened to the Kid Cudi album today, but I, like, you know, kind of skipped through it. But Kid Cudi to me was also like, that was also a moment early on when I was at. So whatever, his album came out, and his last album, what was it?
The last album was the album that actually came out last night, but
yeah, she listened to that one. But the man,
like, on Day and Night and all that, Man on the Moon, yeah. Probably like 2009.
Yeah, I think it was 08.
08, 09, something like that.
It's been 10 years, really, that his, like, main last album came out. But I just remember listening, like, that album was what I would listen to whenever I was traveling, like, and on a plane. It would always be that album that I would put on and listen to. So, Kid Cudi for sure, but.
Shouts to all the Ragers.
And Cudi was so, like, left field at that time. Because I think, like, Drake was coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, him being in Cudi's video for, what was this song? Pursuit of Happiness. And that was, like, a big deal. But, like, there wasn't a lot of people that I didn't think, like, that I knew that was really fucking with Kid Cudi at the time, because he was so, like, off center, you know?
Right. I just thought that start to finish, I could listen to that album, like, on repeat over and over again, because it just was like a vibe of, it was just easy listening.
Yeah. No, he's the one that really started the, like, vibes to get, like, Travis Scott and all that type
of stuff. Right, exactly. Hip-hop. Yeah. Out there, like, a mix of hip hop and alternative, like, yeah. I'm proud of myself that I even listened to Kid Cudi today.
That's big, because I didn't even got a chance to press play yet. Pop
music these days is would be a misrepresentation of my. I'm just not cool anymore. Like, or I never really was, but I'm not with it. Like, that's what a 2-year-old would do. I will tell you what is the hotness in latest toys and, you know, games and onesies, but
as far as music, you're out the loop. Well, I'm gonna try to be a good friend and keep you in the know. Just random album links. Yeah. Just there you go. Check this out when you get a chance.
Yes, please.
Yeah, there you go. I got you. A question that we ask our guests every show is, what advice would you give 18-year-old Cassidy?
Read more. On it, like, I hate for it to be so simplistic, but, you know, a lot of being successful is, you know, working on yourself. And, like, I've been, I've been fortunate in my career to have a lot of opportunities, but I'm at an interesting point where, like I said, I've been at ESPN for a decade. And this business constantly forces you to reinvent yourself, and not necessarily change, but you need to improve. Like, this business and life, you know, forces you to make sure that you are continuing to evolve. And I just don't feel like anyone can evolve without knowledge. And, you know, making just being a little more curious than, you know, I think I was early on in my career, I think would have opened up a little bit more roads to success for 18-year-old me. So I would say read more, find ways to be more curious, and Yeah, and trust the process. Because it was so easy to get caught up in just drama of not getting what I thought I wanted at that point. And that, you know, the journey is really the goal. Some wisdom for you?
Yeah, that's wisdom. That's some bars right there. And hopefully our listeners take that with a grain of salt and go for there. You know what I mean? Especially those that's, you know, following a similar, you know, career path or just in life in general, you know? So definitely thank you for joining us.
Yeah. And also invest in Amazon and Peloton. I would tell myself.
Exactly. Invest.
Yeah. Never make a promise that you can't keep. Yeah, I said that one.
That's a good one.
Work the jagged edge.
Well, yes. Oh, see, that just went over my head. My jagged edge fan card should be taken away.
It's all good. You're probably the last fan anyway at this moment. But thank you, Cass, as always, for joining us.
So fun. I love meeting with you guys. This just was like a breath of fresh air from my constant Zoom calls with teams. So thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, no problem.